Shore Talk is on the air, and our subject matter today, as we alluded to in our local newscast, is the Plant Eastern Shore Natives Campaign. And joining us at the microphone to tell us more about that, we are very pleased to have Laura McKay, who's Program Manager of the Virginia Coastal Zone Management Program, Dot Field, the Eastern Shore Region Steward with the Department of Conservation and Recreation, and our friend Jack Humphreys, whose voice will be familiar to many here on the airwaves, President of the Virginia Master Gardeners Eastern Shore Chapter. Good morning to you all this morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate you being here, and I guess a good place to start, and we'll kind of let you decide who will address which question and when, is just maybe an overview of the campaign and what it's all about.
All right. Laura, do you want to
talk a bit about that?
Well, we started this campaign for a number of reasons, three economic ones to start with. One is that the Eastern Shore is a critical rest stop for migratory songbirds, and so they need these native plants to fuel their journey down to Central and South America. And those birds are a favorite subject for bird watchers, and so the ecotourism is a big boost to the Eastern Shore economy. So that's one economic reason. The other is that the native plants are important to the water quality, and I'll let Dot and Jack fill you in some more on that in a minute. Okay. But the water quality is critical to clam farming and other seafood production. Again, another big economic driver on the Eastern Shore. And thirdly, to help the local garden centers. And using the natives is a very good, unique thing and ecologically important. So we'll let Dot and Jack fill us in some more on those things.
I guess for the listeners, a good place to maybe add some more information is exactly how you define an Eastern Shore native.
That's actually a really good question, and one that I get all the time. How do you know it's an Eastern Shore native? Well, we're lucky here we're lucky all over Virginia is that it's one of the first colonies that came along. So we defined a native basically by those plants that were here before European colonization. And the European colonists, as they came in, recorded a lot of the plants and animals that they saw, especially the ones that they weren't familiar with. So we have a great record, both in descriptive and, you know, pictures that were drawn of plants that were here. They were also the local Native Americans who used specific plants. There's records of that. And another way we do it is, you know, from that time forward, there have been botanists out in the fields, on the Eastern Shore, and they've recorded what they see growing naturally in the wild in areas that have not been developed. And that gives us a great overview of what is supposed to be here or what has always been here. So it's, that's how we kind of looked at our list to make it up.
Most definitely. Yeah. Well, the radio ads that have been running, and also Laura made reference to it as well, kind of referring to the shore's role as a rest stop.
Absolutely.
Can you expand on the importance of that a little bit?
Yes. You know, during the fall migration, particularly, we get a lot of birds that breed in the northern areas that come through here during fall migration and go to their wintering grounds in South America. And if you think about these birds, they're tiny. Some of them are very tiny little birds, and they are just using up a lot of energy, flapping their wings and, you know, trying to get not only to South America, but one of their biggest stops is getting across the Chesapeake Bay, because there's nowhere for them to rest on the way across the bay. Mm-hmm. So before they cross the bay, they need to stop, they need to rest, they need to eat, they need to fuel up, they need to get enough energy stores to make it across the bay. And what they do, or what they need to do, is to eat the insects and the native berries and fruits that are here on the shore. Those are the foods that they're looking for. They're looking for the foods they're accustomed through the millennia to using as fuel. So they're really specifically looking for certain types of plants.
Okay. The information here refers to Eastern Shore natives being easier to care for. Jack, that's a good question for you to chime in on.
Yes, it is. The advantage of these native plants is that they evolved here over thousands of years. Long before any Europeans were here to fertilize and apply pesticides to keep things alive and to provide supplemental water. So they can survive under our conditions without much in the way of inputs from homeowners. And, you know, every time a building is built here on the shore, whether it's a home or a business, a certain amount of habitat is lost. So what we're trying to do is to encourage people to add some native plants into their home landscape so that we can restore some of this habitat and provide the things the birds need for food and cover, protection from predators and that sort of thing.
Okay, very good. Well, the campaign certainly didn't just happen automatically. A lot of research obviously went into this. Can you give us a little background, Laura, in terms of the time and resources that kind of culminated into this campaign?
Sure. There has been a lot of research and background that's gone into it. When you think about it, the first thing that the Coastal Zone Program was involved in goes back to 1990 when we first documented the existence of the Eastern Shore as a migration corridor and the southern tip particularly as a major rest stop. So all of that research is what told us the kind of habitat that the birds need, and they need the connectivity of that habitat as well. And so we've been working since then to try to figure out, well, how can we get more habitat? How can we prevent the loss of any more? And we've looked at different things over the years, and some people may remember over here some ordinances that had been proposed to try to ensure that native vegetation was kept when new developments were put in. Regulation's not real popular, and so we've been trying a new technique that we're borrowing from commercial marketing that they call social marketing, and trying to figure out really what drives people's behaviors. Why don't they plant more native plants? Why do they go out and choose plants that are ornamentals that haven't adapted to this area? And so we had some focus groups that were held over the past few months to figure out what was driving people, and found some interesting things. One, that there was a perception that native plants are kind of scraggly and not very pretty, not really what you want in your yard, which was, you know, kind of surprising to us because we think they're quite beautiful, and in fact they are. And so it was important, though, to figure out what the barriers were, and then to develop a campaign that helps people understand what a native is, why it's beneficial, and so that's what we're trying to do with this campaign. But Dot and Jack, you guys were in some of the focus groups. You may have some other comments on
that. The focus groups were great and met a lot of interesting people and got a lot of interesting comments. And the one thing that stood out is that people wanted pretty things in their yard. So they want their yard to be pretty, and they want it to be fairly low maintenance. So we said, well, wow, that's perfect. That's what native plants are all about. There are a lot of beautiful native plants out there that can take the place of or be incorporated in with a lot of the ornamentals that you already use in your yard. Mm-hmm. And certainly, you know, you can add that to the added benefit of providing food for birds and butterflies. Especially butterflies, there's many native plants that just attract butterflies like crazy, and that the butterflies actually need to lay their eggs on. So, it works out. You get beauty, you get birds, you get butterflies, and you get low maintenance, provided the plant is, you know, in the right place.
And, I'm sure that low maintenance part is a good draw, too.
It's a good draw. It is a good draw, but, you know, you do have to remember that, like any other plant, you do have to put it, you know, in the type of conditions that it likes. But, if you do all those things, then, you know, you have all three of those benefits, the food for wildlife or for birds and butterflies in particular. You have beauty and you have low maintenance. So, hey, we said we can do this. We can say, you know, we can, this is what you all want. We have the product for you. So, okay.
And there's a very long list the state of Virginia has of invasive plants that we try to talk people out of planting. And we have a number of these on the Eastern Shore. Of course, most everybody's familiar with Phragmites, but we also have things like Japanese honeysuckle that just takes over the world, chokes out almost everything else. So
sounds another, like Jack has a whole lot of respect and love for that particular variety.
Yeah.
that enthusiasm.
His favorite.
we have our own native honeysuckle vine that has, you know, beautiful red tubular flowers. and it is not aggressive. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take over the world, and it does. It is an excellent food source for hummingbirds, and hummingbirds are one of my favorites. But avoiding these plants that try to take over the world and our natives, as a general rule, just aren't aggressive. And that's another one of their big advantages.
Well, all of this will be, I guess I was getting ready to say culminate, but really launching with an event coming up on the 24th. Who wants to take a stab at the details on that? Have such a great panel here, I don't know which way to go.
Well, we're all involved in it, and that's the kind of the fun thing about this Plant Eastern Shore Natives campaign, is that it is a real team effort of a lot of local folks with the local nurseries and garden centers, state agencies, and local governments. And so we're all working on this together. But yes, we're having a kickoff event this Friday at 3 o'clock at Willis Wharf. Through our Seaside Heritage Program, where we've been restoring eelgrass and oysters and whatnot on the seaside of the Eastern Shore, part of that program also was to promote ecotourism, and we built a wildlife observation deck there in Willis Wharf, along with a canoe kayak launch. And so we thought that would be a great site to have a demonstration planting of these natives. So we'll be there at 3 o'clock, kind of kicking off this campaign and planting the last of some natives around the deck there.
All right, very good. Well, good opportunity for folks to come out and learn more and find out how they can participate in this project, which again encompasses quite a bit. What areas are we leaving out in regards to important information for the listeners this morning?
Well, I think one area that they really need to know about is that they go to their local garden centers, they will see that the garden centers have placed in the native plants that they are selling, they've placed a special tag that will plant Eastern Shore mm-hmm. native. And so please look for those tags, talk to your garden centers, ask for the native plants. We have a list of native plants that we'll be handing out at the event. We also plan to publish a guide to the native plants of Accomack and Northampton County that will be given out to the public free of charge, and that should be out in the fall, I think.
Let's hope.
Is the published date, and that will have pictures, growing conditions, all the information you need about these native plants. So those are definitely things people need to be aware of.
So this campaign will be ongoing, and,
yes.
and there will be other events coming up as we get into the fall. One thing we've tried to do or I've tried to do is convince people that fall is probably our very best planting season with our climate. Most things that we plant, it's far easier for them to survive their first winter than it is to survive their first summer. So we'll be doing things in the fall to encourage people to go to the garden centers in the fall and pick up some native plants and put them in, and then they won't have to worry about them hardly at all the next year.
All right.
And the garden centers are all cooperating, and they've been provided with materials. You know, they've always had native plants, but they've never been identified as such. So now they'll be identified, so it'll be a lot easier for people to know what's native and what's not.
All right. And a lot of this information is available for folks to absorb at your campaign website, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I've got the address here, or do you want to tackle it?
I'll let you say it right in front of you. Those long web addresses.
All right, Laura, pass the buck on it. It's www.deq.virginia, spelled out, virginia.gov/coastal/go-native.html. And what we will do to maybe simplify that for listeners, we'll communicate with our webmaster today and put a link on our website, shoredailynews.com, and they can visit
That's
our website
wonderful.
And link there as well. Any other areas of interest that we want to address this morning?
And we might want to say a little more about the water quality benefits, too. Yeah. It's important to emphasize how the more we increase the native vegetation on the ground, the better our water quality will be, because the plants are going to hold the water on the shore, whereas an open grass lawn allows for the water to run off much more easily. And so any pollutants that are on that lawn or that field are going to run off into our adjacent waters, which is then going to affect the water quality for our seafood production. So there are just so many reasons. And a lot of times I've racked my brain over the past 25 years, how can we make things better? And the one thing that I always have come back to that I think can really help everyone and is just a plus, 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 is to plant more native vegetation. It'll help our water quality, it'll help our wildlife, it'll help us with climate change, just everything we need. We depend on these native plants.
Yeah, the typical subdivision with lots and lots of manicured lawns is just not beneficial for the kind of wildlife that we have here. And the more grass you have, the more runoff you have. And so when you add plants to the yard that require very little in the way of fertilizer and pesticides, that in itself is going to make a big difference in water quality that's draining off of each yard.
Well, certainly it's the type of project where if everybody comes to the table and contributes in their own way, it could have a great impact. And certainly, hopefully, that cumulative effort will be made with everybody joining in and learning more. Extremely interesting subject matter and important subject matter that we hope folks will come out and learn more about this coming Friday, April 24th. At Willis Wharf Harbor. In the meantime, is there a number folks can call if they have questions through the course of the week?
If they want, they can call my office. Okay. That is 787-5576.
Okay.
And I'll be glad to answer any questions. Do you want the link to the Richmond? I think the local number is probably
Yeah, the local number is probably best. Okay. You know, probably don't want to call me long distance in Richmond.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, very good. And Jack, we're hearing you weekly here on WESR, but as far as the Master Gardeners and their involvement, contact there?
Yes, they can call the Extension office at 678-7946. And if they have questions, they can just leave a message and the Master Gardeners will get back to them.
Okay. Very good. Well, we're most appreciative to all three of you for your presence this morning, Laura, Dot, and Jack. And we urge folks to keep an ear out for the advertisements that are currently running that will tell you more about what we're hearing this morning and also the event on Friday. And I'm sure Jack will be keeping us up to speed on it on his weekly segments as well.
Yes.
All right. Well, sounds good. Thank you all very much. And ABC News is on the way next. Stay tuned.
You're listening to WESR-FM, only Onanka. ABC News is next from 103 The Shore.